the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us.
Good morning. Isn't that a wonderful message? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that a wonderful message to hear and to understand? John here says God is light. And when you go over to James chapter 1, James describes God as the Father of light, in whom there is no change, no shifting shadows. Have you ever seen shadows move? A little bit scary, isn't it, when you see shadows move? Hey, I know everybody in here has been lost at some point in your life. But let me ask, would you rather be lost during the day or during the night? It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? We like to be lost, if you have to like it. We want it to be lost in the light, don't we? There's something about the darkness that just, I don't know, it just gets to us. And it makes us uncomfortable. And you know, it should. Because when the Bible speaks of darkness, almost always it does so in a way that is relating darkness with evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, Paul writes the church there at Thessalonica, and he describes them here. He says, "You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day," Paul says, "let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." If we are children of God, children of light, then we must be different than those that are the children of darkness. We belong to the day, Paul says. And notice the contrast of light and darkness that Jesus talks about here in John chapter 3. He is speaking, by the way, to Nicodemus, a man who has come to him in secret, and really at night, if you read the scripture there. But notice the contrast between light and darkness that Jesus speaks here. He says in chapter 3, verse 19, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Notice the things that are associated with light and with darkness. On one hand, we see darkness associated with hate. It's associated with evil here. And then we find the light. Associated with what? Good. Ultimately, the light is Jesus. He speaks that in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus says, "He is the light. And if we are following him, we will not walk in darkness. We will walk in the light." And that's what our scripture reading spoke about this morning. Walking in the light. In verse 7 there, John writes these words, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." We need to know how to get that. We need to know how to walk in the light and have fellowship with other Christians and have the blood of Jesus cleansing me from all sin. We need to know that information and know how to do that. And I believe that we can find that answer within our scripture reading this morning and in 1 John. Because John is writing to Christians here. And one of the things he talks about is how to walk in the light. How to walk with God. How to be children of the light, how to follow Jesus and have that light of life that Jesus spoke about in John 8. One of the things that you notice as you read this scripture reading is that if we are all walking in the light together, that we have something common in our lives. Notice this word fellowship that keeps coming up. Verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Fellowship. You keep seeing that word come up. In very simple terms, fellowship can be thought of as having a common goal, a common destination that we can walk together toward and help one another toward. But how do we do that? How do we walk in that light and have fellowship? This morning, I'm going to give you three ways to walk in the light. And it starts out with this: telling the truth about who we are and what our actions say about us. How many of you have friends? How many of you have friends that claim to be Christians in one breath, and then the next thing that comes out of their mouth, out of their heart, really, is just some of the vilest things? I see it all the time on Facebook. I see posts about how great my God is. I'm just trusting God through this storm. And then the very next status from that same person is just exactly the opposite. It's darkness, hate, almost. Hey, I understand none of us are perfect, right? We all make mistakes. But sometimes we hide behind Christianity, pretending to be something that we're really not. And it sounds a lot like what the Pharisees were doing and Jesus called them hypocrites. He kept coming back to that, ye hypocrites. I may have told you before, but I spent quite a bit of time at different times talking to a young lady who's having a lot of problems with her parents. And she said that her parents would dress up on Sunday morning in their best church clothes, and they'd sit there on the second pew, be the typical Christian family, worshiping together, praising God together, talking to other Christians, bonding with other Christians. And then they would go home, and it was a completely different story. To hear her talk, I mean, it'd just break your heart. It sounded like as they changed out of those church clothes, that they would put on the clothes of Satan and create a very abusive environment, every kind of abuse you could think of. And then the next Sunday, put those church clothes back on, play the game for another week. It's like they put on a mask for their church and then take it off as they left the building. Do we wear that kind of mask? Do we sometimes try to hide our true self, maybe behind the mask of Christianity, or we try to be strong here with each other, bear one another's burdens, as we talked about in our class this morning? Hey, one of the things John says here in these verses is that if we claim to be on God's side and then continually sin, habitually sin, then we're not telling the truth. If we're going to walk in the light, we have to tell the truth. We have to be honest with one another. Take off those masks. Tell the truth about who we are, who we claim to be. Our actions have to match what's being proclaimed from our mouths, being proclaimed to the outside world. We must be able to go to worship as a Christian and worship with other Christians as a family, right? Praise God together. But when we leave this building, if we're really going to be a true Christian and walk in the light, we have to take Christ home with us, don't we? And I know it's probably the worst possible day to do so, but you got to take Christ with you tomorrow morning, on Monday morning, to work too. It's probably the worst day, isn't it? But you got to take him there as well. We can't just sing, oh, how I love Jesus, here on Sunday morning, and then Monday rolls around and we put on a different set of values as we change our clothes. When Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, he didn't just mean in this building this morning. He means at other times. He reinforced that same thing later on in that same chapter, John 14, verse 21. whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. There's some deep words there that are worthy to be studied. Another way that we can walk in the light and honor God is to honor this idea of confession. Continually confessing sin in our lives. Verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There's some more of that truth telling there, isn't there? Hey, really confessing sin is all about telling the truth, isn't it? It's all about telling the truth. But I do want to concentrate there on verse 9. Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. What does the word confess mean? What does it mean to confess our sins? Just very simply put, it means that we admit to or we state that I am at fault. Me. Not someone else is at fault. That's something else. Confession is me being at fault. I accept responsibility for my own wrongdoing in life. Hey, and when we apply that to sin, we simply admit that we've done something wrong. We have dishonored God by our actions. And when we confess, what do? We've brought that sin out into the open. And we have admitted to God that we've done something against his will. You might say we've brought those sins into the light. Ephesians 5, Paul talks about walking as children of light. In Ephesians 5, Paul comes out and says, he says at one time, you church at Ephesus, he said at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He says, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Listen to what he says. It is shameful to even speak of the things they do in secret, but when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. When we confess our sins, we expose them to the light. We expose them to God. And Paul says there that the darkness becomes light. Hey, and I see that. Every time someone comes forward, or every time somebody comes to my office, or when I go to another Christian and I confess sin in my life, I see darkness being turned into light. Yes, it is. I'm saddened by the sin. But when it comes out into the open, I am uplifted by the humility, by the humbleness, by the courage it takes for someone to say, I was wrong. I did wrong. It's both it's a very sad moment, but it's at the same time the most joyous moment imaginable in life. So if confessing sin means that we're admitting to doing wrong, what is the opposite of that? What is the opposite? What do we call it if we're not confessing? In Proverbs 28, verse 13, Solomon writes these words. He calls it concealing. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Notice it's just not about the confession. Solomon also brings in this other fact, right? We need to forsake or abandon those sins. Think of somebody in the Bible who confessed sin. Can you think of examples? You know, we normally, hey, when we're looking for examples in the Bible, we almost always turn to Jesus. Can't do that here, can we? Jesus had no need to confess sin. Jesus led that perfect life, that sinless life. So he had no need to confess sin. Probably one of the people came up in your mind was David, though. We probably all know the story of David and Bathsheba, him having Bathsheba's husband killed so he could marry her, he could have her. And then what happens? A prophet comes to David. A prophet named Nathan comes to David and he says, "You know what, David? Something's not right here." And he tells him a little parable. And in 2 Samuel verse 12, we read David's confession. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Very simple statement, isn't it? But that's the short version. We see the long version over in Psalm chapter 51. And we're going to sing this part of this song as an invitation song in a few moments. But David writes in Psalm 51 this confession. Listen to this. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." It's a very different confession, isn't it, than just saying, "I have sinned." But he also says, "Ask for God to restore him, cleanse my heart, erase my sin." He says, "Hide your face from my sins," later in that psalm. "Blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and create and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." Look what he says in verse 13. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." You're very familiar with those words, aren't you? "The create in me a clean heart." But he goes that extra step. David does. He says, "God, when that's done, I'm ready to walk in your light again. And not only that, I'm going to teach other people your ways so that they can come and walk alongside with me in your light." Guess what? They can have fellowship with one another, can't they? What a wonderful response to an awful situation, an awful sin. And what a great example that David gives of adjusting his path so he could continue walking in the light. We also need to be showing love. Verse 9 says this. "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. In him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's even going. Why? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes." We just finished a quarter in the Family Life Center talking about love with Don. And he pointed out during that class, and we've talked about it before, that we use that word love to describe almost anything these days. We love our favorite football team. We love our favorite food. We love to go swimming. We throw the word around like it so much. I think it has lost. It's lost some of its power, I think. It's lost some of its meaning. We love almost anything, except, we don't like paying taxes, right, or paying the bills. Those of you still in school, you don't love school. You probably don't love broccoli either, but that's all right. Okay, but other than that, everything's pretty much fair game. But love that is talked about here is so much more. And you've probably heard that Greek word agape. That's what we talked a lot about in that class. It's the type of love that God has for us in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. "While we were still sinners, dead in our trespasses, God loved us so much that he sent his son to die." It's the type of love that's part of that new command that Jesus gives in John chapter 13. He says we should love one another. He called it a new command. "Love one another as I have loved you." He upped the ante on what love meant. It's the type of love that Jesus talks about on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:44. He says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Don spent 14 weeks. It's a little longer than a quarter, wasn't it? He spent 14 weeks talking about the fact that agape love was not a love based on our emotion. It's different. That agape love is different. It's based on an attitude. It's based on an action that we take. To know if you are loving people the way Christ did here on earth, to know if you are walking in the light of love, you have to investigate your past actions. You need to investigate the path that you've been on. Look back to see how you've done with that. I may have shown you this slide before. This is Dr. Spiro Zodheitz, and he explains agape love like this. He says, agape love is not shown by doing what the person loved desires or wants, but it's the person who loves what they deem is necessary or needed by the one loved. If I'm going to show Pat Hotham love, agape love, I'm going to look at her and I'm going to see what she needs in her life, and I'm going to show her that love by trying to provide for those needs. Sometimes that equates to tough love, doesn't it, in some cases? But agape love is not, it's not a thing. It's not a thing. It's a principle that we should live by. It always seeks the highest good for someone else. And that's what God did for us, wasn't it? He looked down on us. He knew we were in sin. He showed us that agape love. That's why Jesus can tell us, love your enemies. That's why he can say that. Because of our sin, we were once enemies of God, right? But now through Christ, because of Christ, because of the love he showed us, now we can be friends. We can be friends. That principle of agape is the way. We have to decide. We have to say, I will live by that because that's the love God showed to me by sending his son. I will live out that agape love because that's what his son showed me by giving himself up on the cross. The principle of agape love, we have to say, I will live my life that way because I choose to walk in the light. I choose to join hands with other Christians who choose to do the same thing. And together we will walk. Together we will have fellowship one with another. While what happens? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hey, we have to decide where we're going to be on this thing. Will we join together and walk in love? Walk in the light? Walk by telling the truth? Walk by confessing sin? Will we join together in that? And if we're going to do that, if we're going to walk in the light, we have to do these things that are written. We have to tell the truth about who we are. We have to confess our sins. We have to show love. Will we make mistakes? Everybody do this. We will make mistakes. We will fall sometimes. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect and neither are you. But we don't have to be. Because Christ is there beside us. Helping us when we need the help. I want to show you a video that I showed at Camp Curios a couple of years ago. And it's called Christian versus Bike. Conveniently, the little boy's name is Christian. But he gets this new bike. Is it playing? Okay. He gets this new bike and he's so excited about it. So proud to have it. And notice what happens as he goes through trying to learn to ride this bike. He keeps falling, doesn't he? But look, there's somebody there helping him. Picking him right up when that happens. He does some silly things every once in a while, right? Maybe some stupid things. But still, he gets back on the bike and gets help. Check this out. He's getting it a little better, isn't he? But notice there's somebody helping him in there. Oh. Going around in circles. Do you ever feel like you're going around in circles? Hey, being a Christian is just like that sometimes, isn't it? We become a Christian and we're so excited. We're going along doing the best we can, doing all the things that we should, and everything's looking good. I got this. And then, bam, we're on the concrete, aren't we? We hit a bump in our lives and we sin. But thank God that somebody's there to pick us up, right? Christ is there to pick us up, dust us off, help us get back up, get going again. And we do feel like that little kid going in circles sometimes, don't we? Our spiritual life, have you ever felt that? Felt like my spiritual life's just going in circles. Sometimes we do stupid things, try to stand on our head. Hey, but we have somebody there. Christ is still there. And if we are honestly walking in the light, Christ will be there. He'll be there to catch us, cleanse us, right? From all sin. Will you pray with me this morning, please? Our dear God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for this time that we have here together in fellowship with one another. And we thank you for all the blessings that you provide each and every day of our lives. God, we pray today that you will help us walk in your light. Help us continually be honest about who we are. And even those times that we struggle, help us be honest with one another so that we can bear one another's burdens and help each other. God, we ask you to help us have the humility. Help us have the courage to confess our sins and to ask for forgiveness and work to change our ways. God, help us love. Help us have the attitude of love, love for ourselves, love for others, love for you. Help us show that agape love to others in our lives. God, we thank you for the great example of Jesus that you sent, came into this world and provided the true light for all of us to follow. God, I ask you to help us walk in his footsteps. Help us shine your light here on this earth. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. John said, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." At all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you this morning to examine yourself to see whether you are walking in the light. If not, you need to make that right in God's eyes right now today. If you desire this morning to put on Christ in baptism, we would love to assist you with that this morning. If you have sin you would like to confess before this congregation, we would be honored to help you with that and bear that burden with you. If you just need prayers this morning for something, we want to help you meet your spiritual needs at this time. If there's anything we can do, please come as we stand and sing, "Creating Me a Clean Heart."
Creating me a clean heart.